Shall we pray?
Our blessed eternal Father, we are so indebted to you, Lord, for so many things that you have done for us. We just want to say we thank you. Thanking you for sparing our lives. Thank you for providing for our needs. Thank you for keeping us from all plans and expectations of the devil. Thank you for fighting our battles. We are grateful to you. It is not the wish of the enemy for us to be alive today. Lord, but we thank you that you have the final say. We appreciate you, Master. Thank you for another week of victory that we have recorded again. Thank you for bringing us to your house this morning. Thank you for glorifying your name. We are grateful. Thank you for journey messages you granted your people. Lord, to far near distances, the blessings of the week, the cost of the services, we are grateful to you. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for the power of your word, the effect of the same in our lives. Lord, as you continue working upon us to bring us to that perfect image of yours, we come before you this morning to surrender ourselves, asking for mercy for our souls, forgiveness for our sins, and that the blessings you have in store will not elude any of us. We know it's not the intention of the enemy for us to be blessed. We want to come to give us distraction, to do everything to rob us of God's blessings. But Lord, we pray for grace, help from the Father to stick side with your word. Lord, help us, eternal Father, take all the glory as we commit the entire services to you. We ask that you have your way. Give us your blessings. Stretch out your hand to heal, to perfect the healing of your people, to increase the faith of your people, to fill with the Holy Spirit. Lord, to give us more revelation and take these things to higher ground. Thank you, blessed Master. All that we have need, Father, as mortal, Lord, only you can supply, because you are the one that is inexhaustible in your blessings. Heavenly Father, we look upon you that you help our faith. Just like that man cried and said, help my unbelief. Help our unbelief, Father, so that we can have testimony of your resurrection in our lives. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Let's open our Bible to 2 Kings chapter 6. We start reading from verse 8 to 17. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once, not twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was so troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, no, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tell the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore send it thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You can please be seated. God bless you. We welcome ourselves to the Sunday school. As we continue the topic of looking at the unseen. One preach in Jeff, looking at the unseen, and it's about the
benefits
of that. Looking at the unseen. Last week we started the sermon, and so we tried to look at this part of the quotation of the prophet, as I read again from paragraph 18, looking at the unseen. It is a strange thing that man who was made in the image of the and the likeness of God and was called of him to walk by faith, believing that God is, would choose to walk by sight instead of by faith. After his makeup, his being, and all that dwells in him was fashioned in the likeness of God. And God is that great Jehovah who calls those things which were not as though they were. A man made to live with God in this manner, yet has he chosen to walk by his side. He wants to be his own boss. He wants no one to tell him what to do. That's just the nature of man. He proved to be thus in the Garden of Eden when he had lost his fellowship with God by choosing to go his own way, not have anyone to rule over him. But a man is made like a sheep, and a sheep cannot find his way back, I'm told. When he's lost, he's totally lost. And that is the way with man. When he is lost, he is absolutely helpless. He must have his shepherd to guide him. Here we dwelt on the reason why this man cannot find himself back to God when he is lost. And that was demonstrated by Adam, the first man who tried to fend for himself. When he discovered that he had done what God said he should not do. The prophet said, he said of Adam crying, "My God, my God, I have done what you asked me not to do. Come and save me, come and rescue me." He ran away. He went to look for a solution to his own problem by himself. He sought for a solution. And who suggested the solution to him? Was it God? Definitely not God. A man that has a problem has no solution on his own. He cannot solve that problem, because if you have the power to solve that problem, you will have prevented it from happening. That ability to solve that problem will have been displayed before the problem comes to stop it on the track. But because man, the moment he's lost, Adam was not like that. Before he lost his fellowship with God, he was in tune with God. He was in fellowship, but he was always expecting God to come down in fellowship. But the moment he crossed the dividing line, he became another person. He had no option than he was left with nothing. Spirituality about him was gone. His nature became corrupted. And once his nature became corrupted, he had to lean to the suggestion of that nature. And that was why that nature suggested to him that the only way out of your problem is to go and hide and put a fig leaves around yourself. And that's what he did. And the prophet told us that what is fig leaf? The prophet said it's religion. It is just a covering. It does not touch the soul of the man. To be religious does not help anybody. It is to be spiritual that has benefit. When a man is religious, he is more dangerous. When he's religious, just like the example the Lord just gave us of the publican and another Pharisee, the man that claimed to be righteous. When both of them went to pray, the other one was praying and said, God, thank you. You are giving me, I'm able to pray three times in a day, I'm able to pay my tithe, I'm able to do this, I'm able to do this, I'm able to do this. And then he went. And then the other one, the Lord Jesus Christ said, publican, he said, he could not as much lift up his face to heaven, to look to God. He said, but he was smoting his heart and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then the Lord Jesus Christ then asked a question. He said, which of them went home justified? He said, I say unto you, the publican. The nature of a religious man is the nature of the Pharisee that claims self-righteousness. He does not see anything wrong in what he does, what she does. Doesn't want anybody to guide him. That is why when you go out there to minister to yourself that I'm a pastor in my church, I'm a minister in my church, I'm a chorister. I'm the head of, I'm a youth leader. I am a program organizer. I am this, I am that. The prophet said, as if that has anything to do with salvation. Now, the reason this is so is because of the nature of the man after the fall. So we move further this morning to look at further that chart that you display. I learned that, okay, let me just see whether you have corrected that other part. The three rings, as we read this morning, while they project this, I want to read from Crisis Revealed in His Own Words, from paragraph 28. Oh, let me read from 29. You can be anointed out here. We are talking about the three realms. You can be anointed out here in this spirit and desire and do all these other things, but when it comes to this type post, to that world, you will never move from there. It will hold right steady and true to that world as it can be. Outside of that, regardless of what you do, you are still lost. Now, we are coming back there. So give us the chance. All right. I learned that you put emotion in the place of conscience. How did you say it? So here, this is the spiritual anatomy of every one of us. Our outer part is governed by these five senses. You might say, Shebi, you mentioned it last Sunday. Yes. Then the spirit realm, we have the imagination. We have the conscience, we have the memory, we have reasoning and affection. And I said, we are looking at two persons here. Just like this is showing a Christian. This is the picture of a Christian. A born again son or daughter of God filled with the Holy Spirit. When a man is filled with the Holy Spirit, is born again. That is when what is in the soul, the only sense in the soul of that Christian is faith. Is faith. The faith of the Son of God, not man's faith. Not human faith. The faith that begins the ladder of the stature of a perfect man. That very faith. It's not human faith. That knows a limit. Then the other person, you can slash it with doubt or unbelief. Okay? This is an unconverted person. This is unconverted person. This person has body with see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. In a spirit realm, he has imagination, conscience, memory, reasoning, and affection, just like the born-again Christian. But the difference between the two of them is what it is in the soul. Here, this person has a doubt in the heart which shows that it's not he or she is not converted. He's not born again. But it is possible for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon his spirit. And he can do a lot of spiritual things. He could even pray for the sick. The sick can be healed. He can raise the dead. He can speak in tongues. He can preach. He can pray to God. God will answer the prayer. He can do so many other things. But the difference lives in absolute trust and obedience to God's word. Unwavering faith in that word. Not holding your opinion, not holding your idea, not holding your understanding. In other words, this person has no revelation of the word. This man has the letter. He knows the quotes. He knows the quotation. He can quote it before the preacher finishes. He can quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But the power of application is not there. The power of application to apply that word at every instance, at every situation, at every point in time. He has not it. But if it's not head, he will not look inward. He will look at the outward manifestation. He will look and say, Shebi, I preach. Heaven falls. Shebi, I do this. This happens. Shebi, I do this. This happens. Shebi, I do this. I pray for the sick. And that's why Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 7, he says, I will say unto them, I know ye not. They will say, but we prophesied in your name. We have done this in your name. We have done this in your name. We have done this in your name. He said, but I will say unto them, I know ye not, ye workers of iniquity. Now these are people that perform signs and wonders. These are people that raised the dead, that preached the gospel, that did all that, the other Christian can do. But Jesus Christ said, I know ye not because ye are workers of iniquity. And what is iniquity? Knowing what is right and not doing it. Knowing the right thing and not doing the right thing. The world. That is why the prophet tells us that the man in his fallen state does not want any ruler, leadership. He doesn't want leadership. He wants to lead himself. His idea, it tends to his idea, it tends to his opinion. What he feels is it. And when you disagree with him, he sees you as unfriendly, unreasonable. And yet, he's the one that is not reasonable. Because for a person to be reasonable, you have to follow what God says. You have to obey and believe what God says. And that is why the man in that state is very difficult for him to obey God's instruction. I think that's Romans chapter 8 tells us that. Let's look at that briefly. Romans. Romans. I'm reading from verse 5. Thank you. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. What their eyes tell them, what their feelings tell them, what their taste tell them, what their senses of the spirit tell them, the affection which is influenced by what is inside of them, the doubt in their influences the spirit, then the spirit influences the body. Before a man commits adultery, he comes in his heart. If he's not born again, he sees a picture of immorality, or sees a woman that's not well dressed, and the devil speaks to him, and that clicks with what is in his soul, doubt, and then that is anointed, and anointed spirit, because it's coming from the tower house. The soul controls, has influence on the spirit. So what is in the soul, which is doubt, influences the spirit, and then his imagination is corrupted, his conscience is corrupted, his memory is corrupted, his reasoning is corrupted. And when that is corrupted, that also influences his body. Then his body carries out what imagination is, what conscience is that has been corrupted, what emotion, what affection is, what reasoning is. And that is why he reasons against God's word. That's why it's difficult for him to believe. Because unbelief is what dominates his heart. Doubt is what dominates the soul. So he finds it very, very difficult to surrender. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Is dead. That's what God said. In other words, to give attention to what your body says against what God says, to give attention to your imagination, imagine things that are wrong. When your conscience is seared, it's influenced. When your memory, you can't forgive somebody that offends you. If you cannot forgive somebody that offends you, it shows doubt in your soul. Because if it is faith that is there, faith that is in the soul of the believer is the Holy Spirit, is the word of God in spirit form. Hello? The faith here that is in the soul is the Holy Spirit, is the word of God in spirit form, that is in the form of this faith. So if the word of God is there, it will influence what your imagination will be. When a wrong imagination is coming to you, because it will come from the outside, not from inside. When it comes, the master inside, which is the word. And that was why, before we continue, that was why in Jeremiah 31 verse 31, Jesus Christ, the Lord told the people then through Jeremiah that a day comes that I will no longer write my laws in the tables of their heart. Except for the time comes that I will write it, sorry, I will no longer, the covenant rather that I made with them, I will no longer emphasize that covenant, except for the time comes that I will write my laws in the tables of their heart. So that they will be able to do my will. They will obey my instructions. They will not need anybody to tell them, this is right, this is wrong. And that's what 1 John chapter 3, I think, maybe verse 7, if I'm correct. That says that the anointing that you have received is true, and it teaches you everything. And what it teaches you is true. So that anointing is the faith of the Son of God that dwells in the heart of a born-again person. And the born-again person is the one that has the Spirit of God, and that Spirit of God is the Word of our time made spirit. Praise be to God. So that Word in our mind, 2:27, thank you. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as He has taught you, so shall ye abide in Him. That is what the Holy Spirit dwelling in the believer, in fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy.
This is true Christianity. So this man, because he has the word of God quickening in his soul or in our soul, will not respond to the dictate of what the high stars sees an immoral woman. The devil passes a message across and says, oh, go and toast. Then the affection begins to, the devil begins to work on the affection. To pervert the affection. But right inside the soul, the word of God will say, wait, that moment, the scripture that is relevant for that situation will apply. The scripture that is relevant to it is not what to cram. Because Jesus Christ in John chapter 16, he says that when he, the Spirit of truth is coming, he shall remind you of all things that I've taught you. That Holy Spirit is to remind. That is why we say the word of God must be quickened in our heart. And that is when we can apply that word. If it is not quickened, if that word is not yet in our souls, if it's still here, and it has not dropped down here by the anointing of God, then we can't live by it. Praise be to God. All right, let's move on. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Emi ko lo so. Oro Olorun lo so. The carnal mind could they please Olorun. You can please God. And you can't discern the things of God. Because it's in the flesh. It's not in the spirit. All right. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's see yours. Hold on. Let me read this first. I'll continue with Christ is the mystery of God revealed. The prophet said, you can be anointed out here in this spirit, you see, and desire and do all these other things, but it comes, but when it comes to this time post, to that world, you will never move from there. That's the man that has the faith of the Son of God in his soul. You will never move from there. It will hold right steady and true to that world as it can be. Outside of that, regardless of what you do, you are still lost. That Laodicean church, naked, blind, mystery, don't even know it. It is that anointed with the real spirit. See, that Holy Spirit can fall upon a man in the spirit, but his soul is his jam. That gem is the world. See, and I don't care how much you can preach, how well you do this, and how much you love, that's one of the inlets to the spirit. He said you can't love with your body, you love with your spirit.
That's where affection is.
You love with your spirit. That's one of the inlets. And you can love and even love God and still not be right. You can love and still and love God. You can imagine that somebody says he loves God or she loves God. And to say that the person is not right. Don't you think that's deep? What does he mean? It borders on the seed. It borders on the soul. Can you tell Adeboye that he does not love God? Can you tell Kumuyi that he does not love God? Can you tell Bishop Oyedepo that he does not love God? Can you tell Paul Ginot of the General Vassal of the Covenant Church that he does not love God? You tell him he does not love God. All of them, all over, you tell them they do not love God. See, listen very, very closely. If you have the Holy Spirit, this few quotes that we are talking about applying to denominations, you will not have a doubt about it. Because the word of God to our age is the absolute truth. It tells you the way of out of denomination. It does not matter what they do. It is the word, the typos, the word that is revealed to this our age. The word that God has sent to this our head is the crop of the thing. Outside of it, talk about what anybody does. Of course, we know Foolish Virgin is coming from there. That's not our business. And we know Foolish Virgin is not coming from here. And so it's only one chance we have. And that's the chance to be part of the bride. And that is why the word is sent to the bride. Remember, the prophet told us that there are three head planters. Three head planters. Or a robot planted for the Pentecostals. Billy Graham for the Orthodox. William Brown planted for the bride. The pure word. And the seed we produce after its kind. And if you can remember, there was a time in one of the Sunday schools earlier that we tried to compare Oral Roberts' ministry, Billy Graham's ministry, and William Branham's ministry. We compare the word and their attitude to money. Praise be to God. That is one of the healing. You can love and even love God and still not be right. You can cast out devils and preach and do these things, still not be right. Jesus says so. So many will come in that day. That word set us. Praise be to God. That word set us. So now we are talking about looking at the unseen. This man cannot see the unseen. He can only imagine it. He can only imagine it. It is not real to him. Because what makes the things of God real to anybody is the faith of the Son of God. Is the revelation of God to that person. And that made the worship that Abel performed real to him. And that was why what Abel did was not real to Cain. And that was why he could not take correction that God told him. Because at the end of the day, God told him that if you have done right, will you not have been accepted? In other words, I accepted your brother's sacrifice. That's to tell you that that's the kind of sacrifice that I will accept. If it was a wise person that was meant for salvation, he would have said, okay, so that is what God wants. Let me quickly go and look for an animal and apply. But he refused. Because he was not ordained to lie. So that is why we cannot overemphasize revelation. Because that is how God communicates with his elect. There was a time when Prophet encountered a man, the man said, we don't take revelation. We don't believe in revelation. And the Prophet says, how can God communicate with you? That's the only way that God communicates with his people. If God does not give you revelation, if what we are talking about is not real to you, if you feel that these people are just shouting, and you know, it's because they have the power of oratory, they can talk. If that's what you feel, then you are in a bad shape. You are in a very bad shape. Because we are not joking. By the grace of God, we are not backing at the wrong tree. So we know the truth. It's because the truth has been revealed to us. Can you imagine Paul the apostle, who one time was persecuting the church of Jesus Christ with all his intellect, went to the high priest to collect a letter of permission to arrest the disciples of Jesus who were calling upon him, to lock them up in prison, and consenting to the death of some of them, like the example of Stephen. Only overnight, because of predestination, God appeared to him, the very God that he thought he was serving, appear to him, and that changed the picture for him from that moment onward. I was saying it the other time, I said, if I was looking at an antelope by a binocular on a hill far off, and you were not using the binocular, you could tag me a fanatic. You could say, but your man's on here. So who's your ethic coach? There might be a TCG. Don't listen to him. That's why we'll be talking. There is an antelope there. I'm seeing it. I can tell you the color. This. Whether there are one or two. You say, don't listen to him. But if you can find grace to come and get that same binocular that I have, you will bow your head. You will say, it is true. I can see through this binocular. I can even see two antelopes. That binocular is revelation of God. That he give to his people to see things that the physical eyes cannot see. That is the faith. That is how we see the things that we cannot physically see with our eye. And that is how it was so real to Abraham that he had to forsake his father's land. In other words, he left reality for uncertainty.
May the Lord be our help. Let's bow down our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we will thank you this morning for your word that has come unto us, Lord, looking at the unseen. It's simple enough for those that are ordained to life to understand. But Lord, we know according to your word that revelation comes only from you, and it is given unto your own children. Father God, we believe that we that are seated here this morning, that we belong to that group, Lord, that have their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, Lord, for whom you will have to give revelation to. As many as are in need of such this morning, in your mercy, may you remember everyone, Lord. We, by your grace that you have given, we want more of it, O Father. These things that we hear on a daily basis, may it profit our soul. Lord, may none of us be left behind, knowing that, Lord, will not be held to be innocent because we have heard. May the world deliver and set free. May it bring healing, may it bring salvation, may it bring baptism of the Holy Spirit. This one this morning may not pass over the head of anyone. Thank you, dear Father. We ask you to bless your servant you have used, and Lord, lift up the honor of his ministry. As we commit the rest of the service of today into your hand, may you take the prayer in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.